Beginning card daf mesecht ba mitzia daf chav dal. Begin 9 lines down from the top of the amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is in our Mishnah in the beginning of the parak of Eil Mitzias. The third opinion mentioned was Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer. He says kol kli ampurya in the chayav laharchas. Now, what does it mean a kli of ampurya, a vessel, a cup, a bowl, something that's ampurya? On that, the Gemara in the previous daf explained ampurya, as Rashi had said, is a contraction of three different words ein poi ri'ya, which means to say that this vessel has no visual recognition to it. There's no proof for the person to know that it's his. Because although sometimes a person gets used to something, although there's no simon, there's no sign showing that it's his, but he recognizes it. Regarding ampurya, that it's new and you don't have any way of proving that it's yours, you can't even recognize it, then that type of vessel, you don't have to call it out. So Gemara continues on that opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So Tanya, we learn in the Braisa. Maida Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar agrees. Bekelim chadashim shesavasan ha'ayim. That regarding new vessels, that the eye is satisfied with it. In other words, it means to say that the eye is filled with it, that it recognizes it. Just like a body is full when it takes in the food, so too the eye is full with this object. That then shechayv lahachas, then you would have to call it out. Which, as we explained in the previous daf, why would you have to call it out if there's no siman? Is because then a Talmud Chacham, who he's believed, whatever he says, because only for three things which they're allowed to, that they switch the words of what the truth really is. And that, therefore, since he comes and says he recognizes it, then you have to give it back to him. That's why you have to call it out, because maybe it fell from a Talmud Chacham, from a Talmudic scholar. However, what Reb Shimon Laz's case was talking about Ampurya is that even the Talmud Chacham wouldn't recognize it, so there'd be no point in calling it out, because since there's no simon, and it's something that's too new for even the Talmud Chacham to recognize it, then Ampurya, then you don't have to call it out. But if it's something that it would already, you could see that it's not brand new, so someone would be able to recognize that it's his, even though there's no siman, you would have to call it out because maybe it's Talmud Chacham who he's believed in even without a siman. So the Braisa continues and says, Ve'elu hein, and these are kelim chadashim, shloi savas na'ayim, that now the Braisa is going to talk about different cases which are ampurya, in the sense of that the eye is not so familiar with it yet, she'ein l'chayav l'hachas, which as Reb Shimon ben Elazar said in our Mishnah, which these items you would not have to call out, because A, they have no siman, and B, they're not recognizable yet to the owner, enough to say for sure that that's mine. Kagan, for example, badi mechatan. The Gemara later on will explain exactly what the term badi means, but basically it means that something that you hang needles from, and similarly, badi of tenarius, which are again different things that you hang. Tenarius are these small little forks that they would spin gold with, and they had to spin the gold. They would use these small little forks. So these forks would be hanging on these badim too. Umachrezes shel kardumais, and strings of axes. So these things are items where, when they're ampurya, when they're new, then they're going to be something that you don't have to call out because they have no sim. And then it's also when they're brand new, you still, it's not so recognizable for it to be yours. In other words, certain times even brand new items can sometimes be visual. Here we're saying that these are things where definitely you would not have to call it out. However, the Braisa says regarding this halacha, it qualifies and says, kol elu sha'amru, regarding all these things that we said, emosai mutarm, we said that when they're new, then they're permitted. When was that exactly? So that's only bizman shemitzon echad echad. That's if you find one bad, one string. In other words, you have the string of the axes, or you have this bad of these needles. You have there hanging on this bad. That's if there's only one of them. Av mitzon shnayin shnayin. But if you find two of them, let's say two strings of axes, then chayav lahachas, then you would have to call it out, because although there's no simon in that actual bad or the string itself that's hanging on the axes, and it's too new for him to recognize it, but the fact that there's two of these strings, or three or four, then, as we said on the previous stuff, the minyan, the actual count, the number of how many of them there were there, that itself is a simon, and then the Braisa says, then you would have to call it out. Now, the Braisa, the Gemara interrupts to explain, so my body, what when we said regarding this cases of certain things which are brand new, and you would not have to call it out, that we said the badim of mechatan, that they're badim, things that hang on them, needles. What is actually the translation of badi? And that the Gemara says, sheikhe, it's a reference to the branches of a tree, which on that was where they would hang these needles and these little forks that they would spin with. That's the reference. So the Gemara asks, v'amai karli bad? So why are they called badi? Where did we find that a branch of a tree is called badi? So on that, the Gemara explains, because davar de toli b'midi, anything which you're hanging things from, which is what they would do with these branches, they would have on the branch these needles hanging off or these small little forks, bad karile, we find that that's a term what the word bad is, As the Gemara says, Ki hodam, and although the words detnan, that say that the Girsa is supposed to be damrinan hasam, that we say over there because it's not really a Mishnah, and this is brought in Masech de Sukkah on the Mimdalam and Beis, regarding the Arava, which is the willow, it's one of the four things that's taken with the lulav on Sukkah's time, which on Hashanah Rabbah, we take just what's called Hashanahs, we take the Arava, the willow. Now, the Gemara there is talking about a case where some of the leaves fell off of that Arava, the Hashanahs, and however, there were left at least three leaves that were still moist. That's one opinion mentioned over there in the Gemara. And some say, which is what our Gemara is quoting, is Ola Echad Bibar Echad. That there was, as long as there was one leaf on one branch, that's enough. Although for the rest of Sukkot, it's not good. But for Hashanah Rabbah, for that mitzvah, we say that that's going to be kosher. So what we see that bad in the context of a branch is called a bad because it has what the leaf, the ol is hanging from it. So here also we call this that the needles that are hanging from it and these small little forks that are used to spin the gold, we call that what is hanging from badi because anything the things are hanging from it is called badi. So in this context, we call it badi. So that's the first part of this brisa that talks about that these things are included in the halacha of Shimon Lazar said in our Mishnah of that things that are ampurya, that they're too new to recognize, you wouldn't have to call it up, but if there's more than one of them, then the minion itself, the number would be a simon. Now the Braisa continues with a different halacha. Again, v'chin ha'yib shimon laza oimer, another halacha that shimon laza said, that someone would be able to keep it and wouldn't have to call it out. What are these halachas? So the Braisa says, ha'matzel min ari, if someone's saving something from a lion, min ha'doiv, from a bear, or min ha'namer, from a leopard, from a bardless, which Rashi brings a few different interpretations of what is the translation of the word bardless. Either it means a hyena, or he brings it as a polecat, and it's a type of animal that kills geese and chickens. Either way, all these animals are all included in their ferocious, fierce animals. Uminzutel shayam, or very similar to this, is when someone saves something from the tides of the sea, umishluse shal nahar, or from the overflowing of the river. Again, all these cases are things that they're lost from people because these are things that you're not going to be able to get it because of the animals that are there or because the tide of the sea. Similarly, hamoitzi b'saratya, if someone finds something in the highway, ufalatya gedoylo, or in a big marketplace with a lot of people, ubuchal mokim sharab mitzuyin sham. And then Reb Shimon Lazar finishes off his statement by saying, or anywhere that, where there's a lot of people there, and as Rashi tells us, even if it has a simen, it doesn't make a difference. Hare Elush Loi, the one who finds it, he could keep it. Now, what's the reason? It has a simen, so why would you be able to keep it? And that Rishon Lazar says, Nesha Bayil Misesh, man. Because the owners, they give up hope from it. As we had mentioned in the previous daf, when there's something that's being taken by the tides of the sea or the rivers overflowing it, you give up because it's something that you're not going to be able to get. And if a lion is there, you give up. However, if someone goes then and he saves it, he does something that was extraordinary, he could keep it because although there's a simon, once the owner gives up hope, that's some type of like a hefker of like declaring it ownless. It's, oh, I lost it already. And then there's no chiv of Hashabbos Abeda and you could keep it. So therefore, B'Shem Elazar says the same thing really applies anywhere where there's so many people. He gives up hope. I lost it in the marketplace. I'm not going to get it back. Of course, someone's going to take it, and therefore he gives up hope, even though there's a simon, and the halach is hare'elu shalai. Now, on this last halacha that we just finished, Rabbi Shimon Lazar's statement, which we first in the Braisa spoke about one halacha he had mentioned in our Mishnah of Ampurya, which was when you don't even recognize it that you could keep it, because even Talmud Chacham won't know it to be able to be believed that it's his. And then he moved on to a different halacha, which is things that they're lost on the person, even though there's a simon, he's going to give up hope. And that's where anywhere there's a lot of people. So Yibaylu there, they had the following five questions, which are all related, and the questions get more complex as it goes on. It develops on the first question. And the Gemara says as follows. First question is, Ki Kama Reb Shimon Lazar, when did Reb Shimon Lazar say that B'makam Sharab Mitzuyin Sham, where there's a lot of people, he's giving up hope, and therefore he could keep it? Was that only Berev Kananim, where there's a lot of non-Jews? Because there's all the Goyim, like, you know, they're not going to be interested, they're not doing a mitzvah on Shabbos Abeda, so they're going to keep it, so forget about it, I don't care if there's Simon that's lost. Of Berev Yisrael Loi, but when the majority of the people, when most of the people are Jewish people, so I'm not giving up hope, I have a Simon, they know that it's someone that there's a Simon there, and they're going to have to call it out, so why would I give up hope? Or maybe even when the majority of the people are Jewish people, he still gives up hope. Because there's a lot of people there, and some people are not interested in doing the mitzvah, or some people don't know about it, and there's also non-Jews. So then even when the majority of people are Jewish people, he still gives up hope. When did Reb Shimon Lazar say that halacha was only by non-Jews, or even if the majority of the people are Jewish? Now, this moves us on to the second question. Im timtza leima, what that means to say that if you are going to say, so we're taking, there's two options, we're going to take one of them, and that's going to keep on us moving in a certain direction. So if you say, afel b'Rabbi Yisrael nami amar, that Reb Shimon Lazar said, when there's a lot of people, you know, if you lose it in a small area, so people you'll know, you'll be able to ask, you'll be able to find out. So then he says that when there's Jewish people, that then, you know, you're not going to give up hope and they're going to return it to you. But he even says that if it's a lot of people, even if they're Jewish, then he's still going to give up hope and then you could keep it anywhere, that when you find something in the marketplace, even if they're mostly Jewish, you could keep it because he's going to give up. So then the second question is, Pliga Rabban Aleha, do the Rabbanan argue on him on both halachas? And that is, Reb Shimon Lazar saying that anywhere there's a lot of people, you can keep it. And the Rabbanan argue on him, Oiloi Pligi, or maybe they don't argue on him, maybe they agree to him. Reb Shimon Lazar is saying this halach and this brisa, but the Rabbanan, which means say all the other rabbis, we're only mentioning one of the Tanoim, all of them, do they argue on him and say, what are you talking about? Then no, it's not true, because a lot of people, why would I give up hope? I have a simon. Or maybe they agree to him. Now, this moves us into the third question. And if you say that, no, there is a disagreement. They don't agree to the concept, this idea that Shimon Lazar says that because a lot of people, he automatically gives up hope and you can keep it. They say, no, if there's a simon, I don't give up hope of my trying to find it. But then the question of becomes the third question. So if they're arguing again, so which case would they be arguing on him? Most definitely in the case of when the majority of the people are Jewish. Then, of course, is where they would be saying in their argument on Reb Shimon Lazar that, wait a second, why would he give up hope? They're Jewish people. They know there's a mitzvah Shavas Abed. They could tell there's a simon. Of course, they're going to return and they're going to announce it and he'll be able to get it back, so he's not being miyayish. However, the question then becomes, even if we're saying that they argue on Reb Shimon Lazar, what would Berev Kananim Pligi? Do they argue regarding the case of when the majority of people are non-Jewish? Or maybe they would not argue on him, and they would agree that then, yes, the person would be Miyayish, because, what do you mean? If most of the people, let's say 75% of the people are non-Jewish, so they're not doing Hashavas Aveda, they're not going to return it, so of course I'm not going to be able to get it back. What's the odds of a Jew finding it and then thinking that it was fell from a Jew and the most of the people are anyways not Jewish, that he's going to go ahead and announce and return it? So he gives up hope. Do we say they argue on Rev Kananim or not? Which then takes us to the fourth question. Vim tim t'loy mepligi, and if we're going to say that the Rabbanan argue afilu b'Rev Kananim, even when the majority are non-Jewish, still they would argue in Reb Shimon Lazar and say that you cannot keep it and you would have to return it. Again, this is following along the lines that what Reb Shimon Lazar is saying and if they argue on him, and then what do they argue on him? So now we're saying that if you say that he says it even by, let's say, all cases, and the Rabbanan argue on him, and not only they argue on him by Reb Yisrael, they even argue on him by Reb Kananim. So then the question becomes, so now halacha kamaisai? So what is the halacha? Is the halacha like Reb Shimon Lazar, that when one finds it in a place where there's a lot of people that you could keep it? Or ain't halacha kamaisai? Or maybe the halacha is not like him, because we have a bona fide machlekes. Now we have a machlekes. We don't know. We're saying, if this is the way it is, now what would the halacha be like? Like him or not? And that brings us to the fifth and final question. Even if you're going to say that halacha follows Reb Shimon Lazar in his argument with Rabbanan, but is it dafke b'Rev Kananim? Maybe only there in that what he argues on the Rabbanan, as we're entertaining that they argue in both cases, that when the majority of the people are non-Jewish, then we say the halacha is like Reb Shimon Lazar. Or you follow b'Rev Yisrael? Or maybe no, we would even say the halacha follows Reb Shimon Lazar, that when one finds it, when there's a lot of people, you can keep it, even if the majority of the people were Jewish, because still the person gives up hope, because since there's so many people, and therefore the person could keep it. So again, those are the five questions, each one building on the other one, ultimately bringing to the final question, would we even say halacha is like Reb Shimon Lazar against Rabbanan in both cases, by Rev Kananim, or even by Rev Yisrael? So now the Gemara tries to bring Rayas, tries to at least answer one of the five questions to resolve in this understanding of this statement of Reb Shimon Lazar. So the Gemara says, Toshima, come in here from a brisa, that let's at least resolve the first question, if Reb Shimon Lazar says his halacha only by Rev Kananim, or even by Rev Yisrael, even if the majority of the people are Jewish, to show that if he holds that then you would be able to keep it, or no, maybe by Rev Yisrael he agrees that then you wouldn't be able to keep it. So that the brisa says, Hamaitzi mo'is bebotikinesis, and we mentioned this brisa on the previous stuff, if someone finds money in the Beis HaKnesses, which usually is translated as a shul, Ubebat Midrashis, and that's usually translated as the place where the people go to learn in the Beis Medrash. Ubechol Makom Sherab Mitzuyim Sham, or any place where there's a lot of people found over there, the halacha, the Braisa says, is Hare Elu Shaloi. These things, these monies, are his, he could keep it. And why is that? And they shall buy the Mishashman, because the owners, they give up hope from it. Now, the Gemara assumes right now that the case that the Braisa is talking about is what's called Tziburi Mois, that there was a pile of money, which on that our Mishnah had said that you have to announce it's Chayv Lahachris, because it's something that has a simon. However, the Braisa is coming to say that since there's a lot of people over there, even though there's a simon, on still that's the Braisa saying Hare Elu Shalai, because the owner still gives up hope. Now, on that, the Gemara concludes from the following point. Now, Man Shamat Le Da'aza Basar Ruba. Who do we find that says this idea? That even though something has a simon because it's in a bundle, it's something that shows that you can show what the simon of that money. It's not just a dollar bill hanging out which has no simon. It's in a bundle. So who is it that says that even though there's a simon, but will go after the majority regarding something that's a lost item? And that is, although there is a halacha that says you always go after the majority, but specifically regarding a lost item, on that Reb Shimon ben Lazar, who's the one that says that, yes, we're going to define this halacha based on that there's a lot of people, that's what we mean by majority, that then you're not going to have to call it out and you can keep it. That's Reb Shimon ben Lazar, as we just mentioned before. His halacha was the one that said, "Chamakam sharab mitzuyim sham," and then you can go ahead and keep it. So shamit mina. So we could understand from this, we could hear from this brisa, who obviously is going like a Shimon the Lazar, who says this halacha of "Chamakam sharab mitzuyim sham," that a filibur every soul nami. That even if the majority of this many people are Jewish, then you could keep it, because what are we talking about? But the Knesset, but the Midrashers, who's the majority of the people in the shul and Beis Medrash? They're Jewish, and yet still he says that you could keep it. So you see, even though something has a simon, but however, if there's a rabbim, even the rabbim of Yisrael, Reb Shimon Lazar says you could keep it. So that answers the first question that we had. Does he only say Barev Kananim or even Barev Yisrael? The Gemara says no. It's not a riot, because Hachmeskin, the case of the Brais is talking about Bimufuzarin. Not like we had assumed. It's not talking about that it was in a bundle. We're talking about money that was spread out. And therefore, the opinion of the Brais, it doesn't have to be like Reb Shimon Lazar. It could even be like Drabbanan, because they agree by Mufuzarin, as our Mishnah says, Ma'os Mufuzarin, when you have money that's spread out, that's Harei Elu Shaloi. That there's no sign. You can't tell you how it was piled up, or whatever. It was just fell, and it was just dispersed, and it was strewn all over. So that has no simon, and that's what the Brais is telling you, that then you could keep it. But that the Gemara asks, Ibi Mufuzarin, if that is the case that you're trying to tell me the Brais is talking about, that the money has no simon, because it's just spread out all over, then my iri makim sharab mitzuyin sham, then why did the Braisa have to say that it's talking about a place where there's many people there, afila ein harab mitzuyin sham, even if there's not many people over there, even if there was nobody there, you still would not have to return it, and you'd be able to keep it, because there's no simon, it's just spread out. So you're trying to tell me that the Braisa is not Reb Shimon Lazar. It's not because the money is tzeruris, it's in the pile, it's in the bundle, that you can go ahead and have a simon. But still, because there's many people, the person's going to give up hope and you can keep it. You're trying to say that no. It's like the Rabbanan. And the reason is because the money is all spread out and there's no simon. And that the Gemara asked them, why would the Braisa have to be talking about a case of Makam Sharab Mitzuyin Sham? Even if there's no Rabbim, it sounds like it, because it's a rabbin, that's why you could keep it. It's not true. If the halacha is mufuzarin, you could keep it even if there's not many people there. So the Gemara concedes, the Gemara agrees that that wouldn't be the complete answer to the question, to say that that's the case of the Braisa, because that wouldn't fit well. Why does it have to be that there's many people there? Ella rather, la'olam mitzurin, you're right, we're talking about that the money is bundled, it is piled together, and therefore it is like a simon. However, v'hacha ma'yaskin, what we're talking about over here, If we're trying to not have this proof that Shimon Lazar would say it even by Rabbi Yisrael, but it's something that has a simon, and yet in a shul where there's most of them Jewish people saying you can keep it, we're talking about Batei Knesset Shel Kananim. That's what we translated before. We said that it's usually translated as a shul, but literally the word Batei Knesset means the house of gathering. Now, we usually use it in the context of where we gather to daven. But when this Bryce was using the term Batei Knesset, he meant where the Goyim gather. It's the houses of assembly, which people know the term assemblymen. They assemble and to gather and to get ideas and to counsel. So that's what it meant. And that's why you can go ahead and keep it, because Reb Shimon Lazar actually says it by Rav Kananim. But no one said he says it even by Rav Yisrael, because it's not talking about a Beis HaKnesset of a shul, and they're talking about Batei Knesset of where the Goyim gather. But then the Gemara asked, okay, you could maybe say that Batei Knesset doesn't mean a shul. it means a house of gathering of where the goyim are, of where the non-Jews are. But bata midrashas ma'ikla memra. How are you going to translate the word base medrash? I mean, everyone knows the base medrash is where people sit and learn Torah. What type of drash do they have to say that it's told by the goyim? So that the Gemara says, you're right. We can't say it means the bata midrashas of the non-Jews. It's bata midrashas didan. It's our base medrash. But then the question is, if it's our base medrash, the majority are Jews, and then therefore we're still saying you could keep it, even though there's a siman. So that seems to indicate, that seems to show that Rishon Lazar says his halacha, even by Rabbi Yisrael. However, the Yasibu Kananim, it's not a riot, because there are non-Jews that are sitting there. That's because, as Rashi explains, their bate midrashes were outside the city limits. And they would have non-Jews there to go ahead and watch the Beis Medrash. Since there were these non-Jewish people there that were hanging around the Beis Medrash, and therefore the people would be Miyayish, even though it's a Jewish Beis Medrash. However, the Gemara comments, Hash the Aslahachi, now that you explained as a way of showing that this price would not show us in Reb Shimon Lazar, that's even by Reb Yisrael, he would only say it by Reb Kananim, because here, although it's a Beis Medrash, but since there's these non-Jewish watchmen, he gives up hope because they're going to go ahead and take it. Then Batik and Nesias, the Gemara says, and you could say the same pshat, Nami Didan, is also talking about our houses of gathering, of a shul, the Yasubu Kananim, where the non-Jews sit, and that's why they give up, not because of that it's the assembly houses of the non-Jews. It is talking about Beis Medrash and Beis Knesses, and usually you're right, where there's a rabbin, where there's many people, and they're Jewish. Then Reb Shimon Lazar possibly would agree that you would have to announce it, and the person would not give up hope, and that's why you wouldn't be able to keep it. However, what we're talking about over here, although it's our Beis Medrash and our Beis Knesses, but there's non-Jewish watchmen there. And the non-Jewish watchmen there, they go around, they're going to take it, and that's why he gives up hope. So now the Gemara continues, trying to bring an explanation and a proof either way in these five questions of this halacha that Reb Shimon Lazar said, of Makom Sherab Metzuyim Sham, where there's many people around, that you could keep it. What was he talking about? What type of a case? And do the Rabbanah argue? And who's the halacha like? So Toshima, let's bring a proof from the Mishnah Machshirin. The Mishnah says, Matzah Ba'aveda. And that the Mishnah is talking about with a city that there's Jews and non-Jews that live there. So it says, if someone finds a lost item in a city where there's Jewish and non-Jewish people there. So the Mishnah says, it depends. Im Rav Yisrael, if the majority of the people are Jewish, then Chayav L'Hachas, then you have to announce it and say, hey, I found this lost item. Whose is it? Someone bring me a siman. Im Rav Kananim, if the majority, if most of the people are non-Jewish, then in the Chayav L'Hachas, then you don't have to announce it. Now, the Gemara says, let's bring a proof from here. How so? Because Man Shamet Le'idaz Li Nabas Ruba, who is it that we know already that says, when you're trying to define the halacha of a lost item, when there's many people there, if you're going to have to announce it, who says that? That's Reb Shimon Elazar, as we said before, as we quoted that Brisa. He says, anywhere where there's a lot of people, and that, in other words, the majority of the people, the fact that there's a majority, there's a lot of people, he's the one that says that halacha, that you're going to be able to keep it. Now, shamit mina, but one thing we hear from this permission in Machshirin is ki kam Reb Shimon Elazar, when did he say this halacha? Of when there's many people, that's Berev Kananim. That's obviously when there's a majority of the people are non-Jewish. When the majority of people are Jewish, then not. Because this is what the halacha is saying. It's saying you found it in a city where we have to consider all the people, the makom sharabim of all the people of the city, because it was found in the middle of the city. Now, regarding that halacha, that is a consideration, that you'll be able to keep it just because of that, who is it that says it? Shimon Elazar. But as we find in that Mishnah Machshirin, it's only when we're considering all the people of the city that when could you keep it if the majority are non-Jewish? However, the Mishnah said clearly if the majority are Jewish, then you would have to announce it. So we see that this halacha, although if something has a siman, if the majority of a people, when there's many people that you can keep it, is only by non-Jewish, that answers our first question. The Shimon Lazar only says it by Rav Kananim, not by Rav Yisrael. And then the Gemara says no. Because Hamani, truthfully, we could say that who's the Tana of that Mishnah? It's Rabbanan here. It's Rabbanan, and that they agree by Rav Akim. As we said, one of the questions that we had was, A, do the Rabbanan argue in the Shimon Lazar? And then we said, even if they do, in which cases do they argue? So we could say that, no, don't bring a proof over here that Reb Shimon Lazar says his halacha. He only says it by Rav Kananim, not by Rav Yisrael. No, maybe Reb Shimon Lazar says it even by Rav Yisrael. But that Mishnah Machshirin is going like the Rabbanan who argue on him, but they only argue on him regarding the halacha of Rav Yisraelim, that there they say that, no, then you're going to have to announce it, although you, Reb Shimon Lazar, say you could keep it even there. But we do agree with you, which was one of the questions by Rav Kananim, that there the person could keep it because the majority of the people are non-Jewish, so the person gives up hope. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So you tell me we can't bring a proof to our first question, that in which case Rav Shimon Elazar says halacha. But tifshit mina. However, one thing we should, at least from one of our five questions, we should be able to answer at least one of the questions, that the Rabbanon do agree to B'Shem Elazar, when the majority of the people are non-Jewish. And that answers our third and our second question. Because our third question was regarding, do they argue on him, would they agree to him by Rav Kananim? And that we're saying that they do agree by Rav Kananim, that the person was able to keep it. And it also answers our second question, that they do argue, at least on the case of Rav Yisrael. We weren't sure if they argue or not. So A, first of all, you're proving that someone argues, the Rabban do argue, as he's saying they argue by Rav Yisrael. And then answers our third question was, we said that even if they argue, do they argue only by Rav Yisrael? Or do they even argue Rav Kananim, that even there you're going to have to announce it? And this, if you're saying it's not Rav Shimon Elazar, but it's Rabbanan, that at least answers two out of our five questions, that they do argue Rav Yisrael and that you cannot keep it. But then the Gemara says that no, there's no proof to any of our five questions. Ella rather, L'Olam Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Truthfully, we're going to go back. It's really Rav Shimon Elazar, he's the Tana of the Mishnah Machshir. Now, but then the question becomes, again, if it's him, then we can at least prove our first question, which is he's obviously only saying it by Rav Kananim, because he said if it's the most of the people of that city are Jewish, even though there's many people in the city, you're still going to have to call it out. On that, the Gemara says, no, you could even say, if a Philip Rav Yisrael Nami, even if the most of the people in that city are Jewish, you usually would be able to keep it. Now, how do we understand the Mishnah? But the Mishnah says, if the most of the people are Jewish, you have to chayv lahachas, you have to call it out. Now the Gemara says of Hachmai Eskin, and you want to know why the Mishnah over there says that you have to call it out? It's because we're talking about a case of Bitumen. We're talking about when it was hidden. And now, as Rashi explains, since it's hidden, it's not, quote unquote, it's not an Aveda. It's not lost, which in other words, the person wasn't lost. He went and put it, he concealed it somewhere. He's not giving up hope. And therefore, when the majority of the people are Jewish, you have to announce it because it's probably from a Jew, because most of the people in the city are Jew, and he's also not giving up hope because it's there. Now, why would you not have to announce it then, even if most of the people are non-Jewish? Because, as we already said, the halacha is like a baya, that you don't know that you lost something, which, as we're going to explain the Gemara, that it's already being lost from him, but he doesn't know that, because he put it down, he buried it somewhere deep down, and he thinks it's still there. He's going to come back in a week to come back and take it. So it's not lost from him. So if that's the case, and even if most of the people are non-Jewish, you would still have to be able to return it. On that, Tosis tells us that when most of the people are non-Jewish, then the person who finds it could keep it, because then we say that it probably came from the majority of the people who are non-Jewish, and then you could keep it. That's the halacha. We go basarayv regarding this halacha of the mammon, of the aveda. Then we say that it probably came from a non-Jew, and that's why you could keep it. However, when it's Rav Yisrael, and then we say it's probably from a Jew, and therefore, when it was hidden, where the person's not giving up hope, because he doesn't even know that it's lost. Again, the halacha of Shimon Elazar was, when there's many people, the person says, you know what, I'm never getting this back. I know that they're Jewish, but I'm still not going to get it back. Because who says they're going to return it? Who says it's going to happen? He gives up hope when there's many people. That's what we're trying to say, that we could say, the Mishnah sounds like it's proving he only says a Rav Kananim. But whereas by Rav Yisrael, he said you have to call it out. And then we're saying that no. Maybe really Rav Yisrael, he would still give up. So why is the Mishnah say by Rav Yisrael that you do have to call it out? It's because we're talking about that he's not giving up because he didn't lose it. He buried it. But then the Gemara moves on to the next question. So fine, so he buried it. And therefore we say it probably came from a Jew. Now that you found this buried item, you have to go ahead and call it out. Because if it's probably from a Jew, most of the people in the city are Jewish. And you have to go ahead and call it out. And he didn't give up hope because he doesn't even know. He buried it. But then the Gemara asks as follows. Ibitaman, if the case you're telling me why, although normally if he loses it with many people, even if they're Jewish, he gives up hope and you can keep it. But here, he's not giving up hope because he doesn't know he lost it. He buried it down somewhere. He doesn't know that it was uncovered already. So then the halach is you would have to call it out and return it to him. But if it's buried, what's it doing by the one who found it? In other words, what that means is, why is the one who finds it, why is he taking it? As the Gemara says, but we learn the Mishnah later on in Chafhei Amid Beis, that says, Matzikli ba'ashba. If you find a vessel, you find something in a garbage dump. So the Mishnah there says it depends. If it's mechusa, if it's covered, lo yigabay, don't touch it. In other words, someone was looking for a good place to hide something. and he found the garbage dump. Who's going to be looking at the garbage dump? So he hides this, what he wants to hide. And now you find it over there. You happen to have found it uncovered. Don't touch it. He's coming back. It's not lost. Megula, if it's uncovered, then noitla machers. Then you take it and you announce it because it's uncovered and obviously it's lost, or whatever the halach is going to be. But the point of it is, the Gemara is asking is, when something is covered, when something was buried, don't touch it. It's not lost. He's coming back to it. So why? How can you say that the understanding of that Mishnah Machshirin, of why by Rabbi Yisraelim that you would have the halach of that you have to go ahead and announce it, even though usually Rabbi Shimon Elazar says when something is lost, even if the majority, even if all these people are Jewish, the halach is going to be that then you could keep it, but here you have to call it out because he buried it. It's not lost, and therefore, since it's a Jewish person's item, you always have to return a Jewish person's item. You don't have to return it when he's miyayish, when he gives up hope. Then there's no chiyuv of hashavas aveda. However, here there's no aveda. It wasn't lost from him. He wasn't giving up hope because he thought it was still buried. So that's why you say you have to go ahead and call it out and return it. But why is that? You don't have to go ahead and return it to him. Leave it there. That's what the Mishnah tells us. When it was buried, don't touch it. Not go ahead and call it out. When it's uncovered, then you go ahead and call it out. But when it's buried, you leave it there. So on that, the Gemara says, Kedamer Rav Papa. The reason for this is, like Rav Papa says somewhere else, that he says in that halacha, he says this answer, which the same thing would apply to our case, he says over there, it's Ba'ashpa She'ena Asui Lefamis. He's talking about a garbage dump that's not usually cleared out. And what happens is that this garbage dump, they usually leave for a long time. They don't usually clear it out. However, as that case that Rav Papa is talking about, he says, however, they suddenly decided to clear it out of the blue, and no one's ready for it. They know usually let's say every 6 months, they go ahead and clear out this garbage dump. But then suddenly, out of the blue, they decided they're going to clear it out. Hachinami, here also, our case is talking about, you want to know why here when you would announce it and not just leave it there, which is what the Mishnah later on says. If it's buried, leave it there, because he's coming back to it. Is because we're talking about that it's ba'ashpa she'ina sui lefanes. The Mishnah Machshirin is talking about a garbage dump that's not usually cleaned out. So that's why the person hid it there, and it's not lost from him. But the nimlach halel lefanesa, they suddenly decided to clear out the garbage dump. Now, as Rashi says, now by default, which means to say either the person takes it to go ahead and call it out, whose is this, or it's going to be lost. It's totally ownerless because they're going to throw out the garbage dump. Now that's why Rashi says, we said it was talking about a case of that it was she'ena asui lefanes, that it's not usually clear it out. Because if this garbage dump was constantly, we know that every 2 days they would clear it out, then that's what's called an aved midas. That's intentionally lost object because he should have known. He knows, everyone knows that they clear out the garbage every 2 days. And if you find something, then that's, of course you could take it because that person's miyayish. He knows that they're going to clear it out. And when they come in to clear it out, you could definitely take it. However, what we're talking about is they don't usually clear it out. So this person buried it there. Now, yes, usually if something is buried there and they don't usually clear it out, you leave it there, as the Mishnah says later on. Oh, but then why does the Mishnah Machshirin say that you take it and you call it out? Because they suddenly decided they're going to clear out the garbage. If they're clearing out the garbage, it's going to be thrown out, and then he's going to lose his item. So therefore, you want to be able to save his item to return it to him because it is his item, and you have the chiv of returning it to him if it's going to be lost. When they're clearing it out, it's going to be lost. Then you take it, and then you go ahead and call it out. But however, you're right, if they weren't be clearing it out, then it would be like the Mishnah later on that tells us, you leave it over there, you don't touch it. And therefore, again, the Gemara has not concluded either way in that question of Shimon Elazar, because it's not true. Although the Mishnah Machshirin is Reb Shimon Elazar, and he says that we're only going to say it's yours when the people are non-Jewish, but when they're Jewish, you have to call it out. Not because of the halacha Makom Sh'rab Metzuyim Sham. That halacha, you would be able to keep it if you found it somewhere lost in the city. What we're talking about is that, yes, it depends on who the people of the city are, but it was buried, and the halacha of who the people of the city are would just be for my finding it to know if it's a Jewish person. How do I know if it's a Jewish person? Probably depending on the statistics and how many people there are in the city. If the majority of people are Jewish, then it's probably a Jewish person's item, and then I have to go ahead and take it and give it to him because they're going to clear out the garbage dump, and it's going to be lost from him, and he never gave up hope. There's no Yish over here because he doesn't know that they're going to throw it out. We hold the kabbaya that Yish lemidas lo have a Yish, and therefore again, since he didn't give up hope and it's a Jewish person's object, I have to be noitel umachas. Now the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis. V'ibay Sema. Another thing you could say to explain this Mishnah Machshirin, that it won't be a proof on any of the questions that we had, is Lo'ilm Rabbanan. Truthfully, the Tanya of that Mishnah are the Rabbanan, and that it's not talking about this case that we described because we wanted to explain it like how it's Reb Shimon Laza, and it doesn't answer that he would agree by Reb Yisrael. It's not talking about that it was buried. But still, you can't prove from here that Rabbanan agreed to Reb Shimon Laza in the case of Reb Kananan. Because if it's Rabbanan, they're saying by if the majority of people are non-Jewish, then you could keep it. Reb Yisrael, you cannot. So it sounds like at least they agree by the case of Reb Kananan, and the Gemara says no. Because Mikitani Hein Shaloi, you have to read the words in the Mishnah carefully. Did it say that it's yours, you could keep it? It doesn't say that. Inachayv Lahachritz Katani. The words in the Mishnah Machshirin says that you do not have to announce it. Now, as Rashi explains, and the way you can understand Rashi is that there's two halachas that go into finding a lost object. There's one of what's called Isser, and there's one of what's called Mammon. There's one of Chiyuvim, of obligations that you have, which is, let's say, the chiyuv of Hashabas Aveda, the obligation to return something, and part of that goes into making announcements and then to return it. Now, since the majority of the people are non-Jewish, maybe, and very likely, it's from a non-Jew. I don't have a chiyuv to go ahead and now start announcing and doing all these things. Based on my isser, my prohibition, my obligations, I don't have to do that because the raiv is the thing that always defines the halacha. And since the raiv of the people are kananim, I don't have to go ahead and make these announcements. However, it's still not yours. You can't keep the object that you found because that's what's called mammon. That's monetary ramification. Those are things that come out of the halacha that are related to money things. Now, based on money things, specifically on finding a lost item, the Rabbanan do argue on Reb Shimon Laza. At least we could say that. And they're going to say that still the person is not going to be miyayish, even when the majority of the people are akim. And therefore, rather the halacha is, as the Gemara says, v'yeniach, you leave it, v'yese Yisrael, and let a Jewish person come, v'yov be'yisimon v'shakal, and he'll give a simon and he'll take it. And therefore, what the Rabbanan are saying, yes, they're the Tana of the Mishnah. And they're saying, Reb Kananim, you could take it. And Reb Yisraelim, you cannot take it. But they don't say by Reb Kananim, you could take it, to show that they agree to Reb Shimon Laza in the case of when the majority of the people are non-Jewish, and then the person gives up hope. It doesn't say that. It says, Ein Chayv L'Hachas. You don't have to announce it. Now, what that means is that regarding my obligations of what normally when the Reb Yisraelim are there, you have to go ahead and make announcements, put up signs, you have to go ahead and do all that you can to return it, because that's your Chiyuvim. Here, you don't have this chiyuvim, because the rive of the people of non-Jews say that it's probably non-Jews. However, regarding the halacha of the mammonist, of the monetary halacha, regarding that we say the person did not give up hope, he's still going to want to get it. It's still his, and therefore, if he would come now with a simon, we would have to give it to him. I just don't have to go ahead and announce it. And therefore, that doesn't resolve our question. Could be the Rabbanan arguing of Shimon Laza, even by rive kananim, that even there the halacha would not be hare elu shalai. And if a Jew would come with a simon, he would be able to go ahead and get it back from you. It's just that you don't have to be machris. You don't have to announce it. Now the Gemara continues. Toshima, come in here. Again, in this these five questions of Shimon Laza regarding his opinion, regarding the different statements. The Amar Ravasi, Ravasi said, Matzah chavis yayin. If someone finds a barrel of wine, Be'ir sherubah ketananim, in a city that the majority of the people are non-Jewish. So he says two halachas. And there's many times, there's many halachas in one story, in one situation. So first of all, muteris mishum mitzia, that regarding the halachas of a found object, that's permitted. What that means is that you don't have to make any announcements. However, vasur bahana, however, it's forbidden from having pleasure from it. And that's because the wine of a non-Jew is forbidden, which the Gemara later is going to ask, then what does it mean that it's permitted because of the lost item, that in other words, you could keep it? What's the point of keeping something that you can't have any pleasure from it whatsoever? You can't sell it, you can't do anything with it. But that's the halacha that he says. He says, look, you know, the majority of the people are non-Jews, so we say that it's probably a non-Jew, so therefore you could keep it. However, since it's a non-Jew's wine, so you can't have any pleasure from it. So now, however, Ba Yisrael, the Nasa B'Simon, what's interesting is Rabasi says, however, let's say a Jewish person comes now, and he gives a sign. He proves that it's his. So now, we're not anymore doubting and thinking that maybe it's non-Jewish wine, because he just proved that it's his. On that, the halacha is muteris b'shtia l'maitza. What happens is, you don't give it back to that Jew. To the contrary, that now the Jewish person that found it can actually drink the wine, because he knows that it was a Jewish person's wine. Now, we had, and the reason for this is that since the majority of the people were non-Jewish, so we say, as we had said the halacha before, and this was what so to speak, was Reb Shimon Laza's halacha, that when there's many people, and for sure when the majority of them are non-Jewish, the person gives up hope. So even though this person is coming with a simon and showing, hey, I can prove to you this is mine, Great. You're a Jew? That means this wine is not non-Jewish wine, although the majority of people are non-Jewish, and I had to assume up until now that it was non-Jewish wine. Now I know that it's Jewish wine because you just proved to me that it's yours. But I'm not giving it back to you because the halacha tells us that since there was a rabbim, and the rabbim were, for sure, they were non-Jews, so therefore, you gave up hope. I know you come with a siman now, so you're proving it to me that it's yours, but I don't have to give it back to you. So not only could I keep it now, I could even have a non that case. So now the Gemara concludes what it, to bring a proof from this story. Now, come on. Who is this halacha like that Rav Asi is quoting? Rav Shimon ben Elazar. It's obviously like Rav Shimon ben Elazar's shita that he holds, that we go buster when there's a rabbim, then we say that the person gave up hope. Now, Shmami no, ki kama Rav Shimon ben Elazar. What's the one thing we could prove regarding our questions that we had? That when does Rav Shimon ben Elazar say that you could keep it? That's only Berev Kananim. That's only when the majority of the people are non-Jewish, because that's the case that I was talking about. As we see specifically, Rav Asi said this halacha, that when you find a barrel of wine, when can you keep it? Berev Kananim. However, the inference is, the Deek would show us, of Berev Yisrael Lai. When the majority of the people are Jewish, then you wouldn't be able to keep it. So it answers our first question. Our first question was, when does he say it? Does he only say Berev Kananim, or even Berev Yisraelim? We just answered that question. We see that it's even, that it's only Berev Kananim, not Berev Yisraelim. Another Gemara says, no. La'ilam emelcha, really, I'll tell you, Rav Shimon Laza, afila Berev Yisrael namikama. Rav Shimon Laza really says his halacha, even when the majority of the people are Jewish, doesn't make a difference. A lot of people, a person gives up hope. However, Rav Asi, the one that was quoting this halacha, he holds like Rav Shimon Laza, kavase b'chada, he holds like him in one halacha, that is, he holds like him, yes, I agree to you, Rav Shimon Laza, when the majority of people are non-Jewish, then you could keep it. However, he argues on Rav Shimon Laza in one halacha, that when they're Rav Yisraelim, then not. In other words, yes, he is going in the opinion. He's following that train, that thought of when there's a rabbim, then halacha is that you could keep it like Rav Shimon Elazar. However, he doesn't go as far, Rav Shimon Elazar. He only says it by Rav Kananim, not by Rav Yisraelim, but we can't prove that Rav Shimon Elazar himself doesn't say it even by Rav Yisraelim, because maybe he argues on him on that one point. Now the Gemara asks on Rav Asi, which we had mentioned before. Now, once you said, let's say before the Jewish person came to bring a siman that it's his, when the majority of people are non-Jewish. So you could keep it because we assume it's from a non-Jew. But once we're saying that it's forbidden to have anah from it because it's probably non-Jewish wine and we're not allowed to have anah because we call it yayin nesu, it can't be anah from their wine. So then, meteres mishum metziah, lamai halachasa, what is the purpose of the halacha saying? That, oh, it's permitted for you for the lost object that we could say that it's probably from a non-Jew so you could keep it and have to return it to anyone. But what do I want it for? I can't have any anah, no pleasure whatsoever from it, so what's the point? The Gemara says, Rav Ashi lekan kana. It's for the barrel, for the jug, what's holding the wine. You're right, the wine you have to spill out, you can't have any pleasure whatsoever. But the barrel, that is not yayin, that's holding the wine. And therefore, that would be the purpose of saying Mutas Meshmetziah, that you could keep that. Now the Gemara brings a story, again, all trying to conclude something regarding these five questions that we have yet to prove, either one of these five questions in this discussion of the halacha of Shimon Laza regarding Mokim Shirab Mitzuyin Shem. So the Gemara brings a story. Who gathered? There was a certain person, the Ashkech Arba Zuzi. He found four Zuzi, those were the coins in the times of the Gemara, the Tsari Bisadina, that was wrapped in a cloth, the Shadu, and it was thrown Binahar Biran, in the river Biran. So he found this cloth wrapped with coins inside the river. So Asla Kamad Rabbi Yehuda came in front of Rabbi Yehuda and wanted to know, what's the halacha? What do I do? So Amalei said to him, Zilachers, go out and announce it. Say, I found a cloth wrapped in coins in the river Biran. Now the Gemara asks, wait a second, Bahazut Shel Yamhu. This is what would normally be called in Halacha the tide of the river, which means that when something is taken by the river or by the sea, that's something that you can keep, as we had mentioned before. So why does he say you have to announce it? When it's going in the river, that's lost. Everyone gives up hope. We even had on the previous staff a pasuk that says that it's only when it's avud mimenu, when it's lost from this person. However, when it's lost from everyone, when like when the ocean takes it away, the zut shayam, then you can keep it. So why over here in this river did he say that you have to call it out? And that the Gemara says, Shani Nahar Biran, because the river Biran is different than the regular ocean or the rivers that take things away. Kivin the Mitkal, since there are different barriers, there are different obstacles inside the river. There are stones and there's different dams that they built, which dams are there to block the water because they want to be able to catch the fish that were there. So Lo Miayish. So therefore, the owner of that thing, of the money that's wrapped in the cloth, he doesn't give up hope because he thinks, I know that the river took it away. But the river's not going to be able to take it too far because there's all these obstacles in the way. And additionally, they used to go ahead, stuff up and drain and clean out the river of the Nahar Biran. And since they're going to be clearing it out and they're going to be draining it, and they're going to find my cloth with the money in, and therefore I'm going to be able to go ahead and get it back, and therefore I'm not going to give up hope. And that's why he said you have to go ahead and announce. It's different than usually when a river comes and the rapids and everything takes it away. Here it's different because it's going to be here somewhere and they're going to end up finding it, so I'm not giving up hope. But that, the Gemara concludes, but v'haruba kananim ninu, but the majority of the people of that city were non-Jewish. Shmamino, so we can infer that ein halacha kriya b'shem min elazar, we don't follow the halacha, which was the later questions we had, the fourth and the fifth. We wanted to know, do we follow like Rabbi Shimon Elazar? Even if we do, do we go like him only b'Rav Kanan, but b'Rav Yisrael? We would not, and we would say that you have to announce it. And this, from this story, which is a halacha l'maaseh, we see this is what they did. We could prove that we don't paskin, we do not follow Rabbi Shimon Elazar, a filler b'Rav Kananim. Even when most of the people are non-Jewish, so there's a rabbin where it was lost in, and the majority of people are non-Jewish, which is with the case by Nahar Biran, and yet the halacha was, chayv laharchas, you have to announce it. So you see that person does not give up hope. If he has a simon, I don't care that there's a lot of people, and I don't care even the majority are non-Jewish, you still have to call it out. So we see, to answer our later questions, we don't follow Kibshav and Elazar, even by Rav Kananim. Now the Gemara says, no, you can't prove those questions either. Because Shahani Nahar Biran, the river Biran is different, because Yisrael Sachule, the Jewish people are the ones that dam the river. They block it up. Yisrael Karolei, and they're the ones that dig it up. And that's why, for two reasons, the person will not give up hope, and it won't prove our question. Because Kivan, the Yisrael Sachulei, since the Jewish people are the ones that block it up, say, Eimim Yisrael Nafal. So I'm going to say, when the person comes to find it, he's going to say, it probably fell from a Jewish person, because who's the ones that work on the river? It's the Jewish people. I know the majority of the people in the city around the river are non-Jewish. But who is the majority of people on this river? Jewish people, they're the ones that work on it. So that's why you have to announce it. And you don't say just leave it there like we said when the majority of the people are non-Jewish. We said, although, regarding the Rabbanan, you cannot keep it, we said, because of the halacha of Mammon. But we said you don't have to announce it. Here you would have to even announce it. Because when we measure majorities, when we measure statistics, well, maybe think about all the people in the world. We don't do that. We think of who it possibly fell from. If it probably fell from a Jewish person and there's a simon, we have to go ahead and announce it. So here on the river, the majority of those people are Jewish. So therefore, you have to announce it. But then there's another point why, yes, there's a simon and therefore you have to announce it, but maybe he gave up hope. We say that, no, he didn't give up hope either. Because of Akiva and the Yisrael Karolei, since now, when they're damming it, when they're closing it, so that's when it fell from the Jewish person. Now, the ones that are digging it, the ones that are cleaning it out, keeping the Yisrael Karolei, since they're the ones that dig it out, loy miyayish. So the one who it fell from in the first phase, who is probably Jewish, and that's why you have to call it out, now he doesn't give up hope because who are the ones that are working in the second phase? Those are the Jewish people too, because the ones that are carving, the ones that are digging up and cleaning out the river, they're Jewish too. And therefore he says, wait a second, I'm not going to give up hope. And therefore, the Gemara says you cannot conclude that we don't follow Rav Shimon Elazar. Maybe we would follow Rav Shimon Elazar by when there's Rav Kananim, and we would say that then a person could keep it and you don't have to call it out. But why over there? There is because essentially it is Rav Yisrael. And why is it Rav Yisrael? Because who works on the river are Jewish people. And therefore, we assume that it came from a Jew. And not only that, the person who lost it assumes that a Jew is going to find it. And therefore, he's not going to give up hope. He knows that it's going to be returned to him. Now the Gemara brings a different story. Rav Yehuda have a shakel v'ozel basri debar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was walking behind the master Shmuel b'shuka de beidaisa in the marketplace that was called the beidaisa, which was the place where they would sell daisa. Now daisa was they had the grain like wheat kernels that were crushed that they would use for different farinas and different. They used to use this in this type of cereals. So he was walking behind him in that marketplace. So Amalei, he said, you know, he was asking, he's walking with his Rebbe, and he says, Motze kan arnukumahu. Says, if you find a purse over here, what would the halacha be? So Amalei, harei lo shalai, you could keep it. Says, this is a place out in the marketplace, you find something, you could keep it. Then he asked, Bo Yisrael v'nosim b'simin mahu. Well, what would be the halacha? So someone finds it, and he says, hey, great, I heard this halacha, you keep it. But then a Jew comes running up to him, and he says, I can prove that it's mine. And he gives a sign, and he looks. He says, hey, right, it has a simon. So Amalei Chayav Lahachzir says, then you have to return it. He asked him, Tarti? How could they both be true? How could the halacha be that something you could keep, and that's the halacha, and then you say if someone gives a siman, you have to return it to him? Obviously, if it says you have to, you could keep it, even though you could see there's a siman, obviously means that you don't have to return it, even though someone comes with a siman. So Malehi said to him, you're right. Lefnim mishuras hadin. What I was telling you was that although you really could keep it, even someone shambles with a siman, because we say the halacha is his miyayish, going beyond the letter of the law, literally means going within the line of what the law is, from the judgment is, that is a chiv that a person should do. You should go lift the mishnah sedin. You're right. Although the letter of the law says you could keep it, but if someone comes running to you with a sign saying, hey, this is mine, I can prove it to you, then you should return it to him. So the Gemara brings similarly that kihada avu d'shmul, as we find that the father is Shmuel, ashkech hanach chamri b'madbara, he found these donkeys in the desert, and he returned it to the owners, lebasa treisa yarchi shata. Although he found it after 12 months that they were lost, now why did he return it? After 12 months, for sure they gave up hope and they were miyayish. That was lefnei mishuras hadin. Again, the same idea. Although he didn't have to return it, but he went beyond the letter of the law, and since he knew whose it was, he went ahead and he returned it. Now the Gemara brings a different story. Rava have a shakal va'azal basreder of Nachman. Rava was going behind Rav Nachman b'shuka dilgoldoi in the marketplace of the leather manufacturers. V'amrila, and some say that it took place elsewhere. It was b'shuka d'rabbanan. It was in the marketplace of the rabbis. Amalei, so he said to him a similar question. Matzikan arnikamahu. If someone would find a purse, a wallet right over here, what would the halacha be? So Amalei, harelu shalai. That would be his. You can keep it, right? This is many people over here, and the person's going to give up hope. But then he asked. What would be? You said he could keep it. A Jewish person comes running up to him and says, wait a second. Did you find the purse over here? I could show you that it's mine. I could prove to you. It has all my information. I could show you. And what would the halacha be? Amalei says, doesn't make a difference. You could still keep it. Here he wasn't telling him this. Then he was telling him the letter of the law. And the letter of the law is, even though he comes showing it, you could keep it. But then Rava asked, what do you mean? He's standing and screaming. He says, wait a second, this is my purse. What do you mean you're taking it? I can prove to you that it's mine. How can you take something that's mine? What does that mean, Rava says, that you could keep it? On that he answered him, wait a second. It's like someone that's standing and screaming on this house that collapsed. And on a ship that sank in the sea. What do you mean? Look at my house. It crumbled. And he's screaming and saying, no, this can't happen. Yes, I know he's saying that this can't happen, but it happened. And does he give up hope on this house? Of course he gives up hope. Although he's screaming no, 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 he might be in denial, but that doesn't make a difference. He still gave up hope because he sees. Same thing is when something gets lost, b'makom sharab mitzuyim sham. He definitely gave up hope. Now he comes with the siman and showing and he's screaming, wait a second, this is mine. Doesn't make a difference because halacha is just like a house crumbling, just like a ship sinking in the sea, even though that this is maybe someone's going to save it and get something from it, and he's going to say, this is from my ship, doesn't make a difference. A person definitely gives up hope. Same thing over here. So therefore, even though he's screaming and saying, how can you do it? Doesn't make a difference. He was meyayish, and therefore it's ownerless, and therefore a person could keep it. So now the Gemara continues with a different story, trying to again resolve one of the questions that we had on these five different questions on the opinion of Rav Shimon Lazar regarding Malkim Sharab Mitzurim Shem. So the Gemara says, Hahu daye. There was this bird that's called a vulture. The shokel bistra bishuka, that took a piece of meat in the marketplace, the shadya bitsinyasa, and it threw it between the palm trees, the bay bar mirian, of the household of bar mirian. So asla kamidabai, it came in front of a bai. You want to know what is the halacha? I see this vulture, and it came and it dropped a piece of meat between my trees. What's the halacha? So amalei said to him, zil, go, shkola navshach, take it for yourself, you could keep it. With that, the Gemara concludes, "V'haruba di Yisrael ninu," that majority of the people of that city are Jewish. So, shami mina, one thing we could prove is the fifth of the five questions we had on the first, on Amud Aleph. Halacha kibshim ben loza, avish halacha v'hazak kibshim ben loza, afelib rabbi Yisrael. That is, the majority of the people, there's a rabbim, it was taken from the marketplace. However, the majority of the people are Jewish, and yet still we say that you could keep it. So obviously we say like that we pass in halachas like Rav Shimon Lazar, but not only that we hold halachas like him, but we even hold like him even by Rav Yisraelim, that when it was fell in the Makom Abraham, you could keep it. The thing where it says, no, it's not a raya. Kashani daya, the case of the vulture is different. The kizutei shel yamdami. Essentially, that's similar to the case of when the tides of the sea take it away. Where there, everybody agrees, like we had mentioned, that the Gemara makes a drasha elsewhere that we had mentioned in the previous daf, that it's only that you have to return something when it's lost from him, imenu, but when it's lost from everybody, like when the sea takes it away, when no one can get it. Or a vulture is the same thing. The vulture takes it. There's no way for anyone to get it. So now, although later on he drops it somewhere, but it is totally lost. Totally lost. There's no obligation, even according to the Rabbanan, to return it. So therefore, it has nothing to do with the halacha of someone giving up hope. This is like what the pasuk tells you. That when it's lost from everybody, which is what Zuta Shalyam is, which is the case when the vulture takes it away, there's no chiv to return it, and therefore one could keep it. But then the Gemara asks, on the story itself, so he said you could keep it, but v'ha'omer Rab, but Rab says, basir shenes alim min ha'ayin asir, meat that is lost from the eye, which means to say it was you didn't see it the whole entire time, it's forbidden. And the reason why it's forbidden is because maybe it was switched with non-kosher meat. And if that's the case, so yes, it's shaloi because of like, it's a lost object and you don't have to return it. But similar to the question the Gemara had previously, now what's the purpose of keeping it? There's nothing you can do with the meat anyway. You can't eat it because it might be nevela. And that the Gemara says, but imid v're'ehu. It's talking about that he was standing and he saw the whole thing. He saw the vulture take the piece, he saw it drop from the person. He saw it's a Jewish person. He saw the vulture take it from the ground, bring it, and fly away, and the person's looking, saying, oh my, this is... And everyone sees, it's impossible to get it. It's like Zutil Shalyam. It's totally lost, there's no mochiv to return it. Then he dropped it between his two trees. Then he could keep it. And then he could eat it. Because he could keep it, because it was lost from everybody. Once that happens, even though later on it's dropped, it's considered you don't have to return it. And also he could eat it, because he saw that it fell from a Jewish person. Never lost his vision. He was able to see the entire time that piece of meat, where it was, that it was kosher meat, and that's where he could keep it and he could eat it. Now the Gemara brings another story, again, trying to resolve one of the questions that we have regarding Reb Shimon Lazer on this halacha of Makam Sharab Mitzuyin Sham. Again, that a person gives up hope, even if it has a simen, if there's a lot of people there, he gives up hope of ever getting it back. So the Gemara says, Reb Chanina Matza Gedi Shachar. Reb Chanina once found a kid goat, that's a young goat that was slaughtered, being Tiveri L'Tzipari, Tiveri and Tzipari in Eretz Yisrael, are near each other, and he found this kid goat, and they, the Chachamim, permitted it for him to take it. So Amri said, there was two halachas in this question. As we said, many times a halachic question has many different questions attached to it. So they permitted to him, first of all, one mishum mitzia, which is maybe you can't even take it, the lost item that you found, is because Reb Shimon Lazer. Reb Shimon Lazer says that when there's a rabbim, when there's something that's lost in between Tveri and Tzipari, it's where there's many people walking, then there you could keep it. That was based on Reb Shimon Lazer's opinion. And Mishum Shchita, the second question is, okay, so yes, you could keep it, but then what's the halacha of purpose of keeping it if you can't eat it? They permitted for him, because of it being considered as slaughtered, which, that it was kosher, is Krib Chananya B'noi Shob Yosei Aglili. It sounds like we learned in the Braisa that there was a machlokes actually regarding this, and that they were paskening like Reb Chananya, just like regarding the halach of Metziah, they passed like Reb Shimon Lazer, not like Drabbanan. As the Braisa says, Harisha Avdulai Gedoya V'Tarnegoylev. If someone lost his kid goats and his chickens, but you know what? V'Halachu Matzen Shchutin, he goes and he finds that they're slaughtered. So what's the halach? He knows it's his, but he never shechta, he finds it's slaughtered. Shabihuda Eiser, he says it's forbidden. He says it's permitted, you can go ahead and eat it, which means to say we assume that it's kosher. And whereas Rabbi Huda says that we don't assume, maybe it's an avela, maybe it's not kosher. So Amir Rebbe said that I hold like one in one area and I hold like the other one in the other area, which is near and divrei Rabbi Huda. It would seem that the halacha would be like Rabbi Huda, that you cannot assume that it's kosher. When you find it in the garbage dump, because usually nevelas, which means to say when they were not slaughtered properly, they weren't kosher, that they usually thrown into the garbage. So if you're finding your kid goat already shechted, already slaughtered, but it's in the garbage dump, you probably have to assume that it was probably not kosher and it wasn't done a good shechita, someone did a bad job, and whatever, he threw it in the garbage because there was no point in it, so then you wouldn't be able to eat it. But v'divrei Reb Chananya b'noi Shob Yosei Aglili, but it would seem the halacha would be like that it would be kosher, like Reb Chananya, kosher mitzvah b'bayis, when you find it in your house, on your table, you come, wait a second, here's my kid goat, I was missing him, and you know what? He's actually slaughtered. I see pieces of meat over here. But if it's in the house, then we assume that it's kosher. So that was the story, that there was these two halachas related to it. One, mitzvah, like Reb Shimon Lazer, you could keep it, and two, Reb Chananya, that you could even eat it. So the Gemara concludes to answer one of the questions. From the fact, which was the second point of the case that was brought for this halacha, that from the fact that they permitted to him to eat it, that we consider that it was slaughtered properly. Obviously, Rubi Yisrael Ninu, we have to say that the majority of the people are Jewish, and that's why we said that we're going to consider it Shechita, because if most of the people, we usually go after the Rav, after the majority, and if most of the people would have been non-Jewish, then we wouldn't say it was done with Shechita. It was probably just some non-Jew came and just chopped off its head. So from the fact that we're assuming that it's Shechita, is because we're going after the majority who are Jewish. Now, Shami Minafim, there you could hear regarding the first halacha of Metzia, that halacha of Shimon Laza, halacha of Fazak of Shimon Laza, that we're saying that you could take it even more like Sharabim, after the Rebbe Yisrael, even when the majority of the people are Jewish. So now between Tver and Zippori, which is where this is found, we're obviously saying that the majority of the people there are Jewish. And that's why we're saying that it's probably kosher, because you go after the Rav, and if Rav Yisrael, they slaughter the meat first. Yes, if you find it in the garbage, we'd say it probably didn't come out well. But if it's finally in the house, which here you didn't find it in the garbage, you could keep it. And yet still we're saying that even though Rav Yisrael, that you could keep it. So obviously when we're saying the halachas like Shimon Laza, we're saying it even Rav Yisrael. So that answers our fifth question. We pasken like him, even Rav Yisrael. So Rava says no. Regarding the first question of the permission of taking it when it's a lost item, really we're talking about Rav Kananim. And that's why we said you could take it. So maybe we only passing like Rav Shimon Laza, or the Rabban would agree with it, but we only say it only by Rav Kananim. But then the question becomes, if the majority of the people are non-Jewish, and that's why you could keep it, but then why could you eat it? That the answer is, V'rev Tabachi Yisrael. Most of the butchers, most of those that do the Shechita are Jewish, and that's why you're allowed to eat it. So there's two different majorities, which is interesting. We discuss majorities based on the halacha that we're considering. Regarding the halacha of keeping the lost item, that we have to consider who the people are that it fell from. That, the majority are non-Jewish, therefore you could keep it. Now, regarding the other halacha of permissibility of eating, that we have to consider, well, who probably went and prepared the meat? In other words, who slaughtered it? Oh, most butchers are Jewish. So even though most people that lost it are non-Jewish, most butchers are Jewish, and therefore we assume that majority, it was probably slaughtered properly by a Jewish butcher, and that's why you could keep it because of Rav Kananim, but you could eat it because most of the butchers are Jewish, and again, it doesn't resolve our question to show that he even says of Rav Yisraelim. Really, the case is talking about Rav Kananim, and that's why we say the halach is like Shimon Laza. However, it's only Rav Kananim, but you could eat it because most of the butchers are Jewish. Now the Gemara brings us two more similar stories to this halacha of finding items in public places where we find that then a person could keep it, that it seems like the halacha is at least like Rav Shimon Laza regarding Rav Kananim. It says, Rav Ami Ashkech Parget Shchutus. Rav Ami found slaughtered pigeons, being Tever Litzipari, again on that same area between Tever and Tzipari. So us Lekamid Rav Asi, he came in front of Rav Asi. Rav Ami Lo, and some say that story goes Lekamid Rav Yechanan, he came in front of Rav Yechanan. Rav Ami Lo, and some say, Bei Midrash, he came into the Beis Medrash. And he asked, what's the halacha? Rav Ami Lo, they said to him, Zil Shkul Nafshach, go ahead and take it for yourself. Again, there's no proof necessarily that it's because even by Rabbi Yisrael, but at least for the halacha of Rav Kananim, that if it's a makom shara mitzvim sham, the person gave up hope. But also, even if it's Rav Kananim, you could eat it because most of the butchers are Jewish. Similarly, another story the Gemara says, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, he was ashka kibura. He found kibura, which are coils of spun string, the azliba, that are made into netting, which is what the trappers, the hunters, trap with, azluya, that are made by the hunters, that they make these, they make these traps, they make these nettings. So he found the coils of the spun string. So Asla came to Rabbi Yechanan, came from the Rabbi Yechanan, Rav Amri Lan, some say, B'mei Midrash, and came to the Beis Medrash, said, what's the halacha? I found these items. Rav Amri Lan, and they said to him, Zil Shkol Nafshach, go ahead and take it for yourself. Again, when even if something has a simon, if it's in the Makom Sharab Mitzuyim Sham, at least what we see clearly from the Gemara, at least if it's most of the people are non-Jewish, then most definitely a person could go ahead and keep it.